Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's the Riverdale After Show. Kevin wants to take the stage. Jughead is in a rage. Archie and Betty are making out. What is this show all about? Oh, yes! All right, welcome.
That was my favorite one, I think, Frank.
Bringing on all the craziness that's happening here on Riverdale on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
And I'm Katie. We're back. It took us a little while, but we're back talking about the episode we all just were so excited about. And I'll be on the chat, so if you guys have questions, just hit me up with them.
That's right. We're breaking down as season 4, episode 17, Wicked Little Town. And as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And yes, Katie's on the chat, so hop in there and share your thoughts. Katie, though, before we hop in and break this episode out in detail, what did you think overall?
It was not as bad as last year's musical episode. So my first thought was, every year they do these musicals, and I think we talked about it on the show, where we're like, what school would, like, allow some of these musicals? I mean, mine sure wouldn't have. So I did kind of like, even though we don't like Honey, I did like that we saw him kind of stand up to these kids who kind of, like, rule the school and have no adult leadership. As much as I hate him, I liked to see that. And there were some good moments that really had that musical quality, like all the cliche ways that make musicals great. Some of those songs had that, which I liked. So I'll give it, I'm going to give it like a 7.
Interesting. All right. I mean, if you're ranking it to the musical episodes in the past, where does this one fall in?
2nd? I don't remember the first one very much. But and we're talking about just the musical episodes, not the ones that just have musical interludes, right?
Yeah,
we're talking about just musicals.
Yeah, just the Carrie and then...
Yeah, probably 2nd, because I do not remember feeling so cringy in Carrie as I did last year.
Yes.
For Heathers.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I mean, what I did like about it, though, is that at least it wasn't another musical. We're throwing a musical. This one was just like, hey, we're doing a talent show. I just want to sing a song from this musical in there. I mean, I guess the one thing that always comes to me is that anytime there is a musical element in a production, it's also like, what is real and what isn't? So, like, you see when they're doing the first song and they're throwing all those papers out of the lockers and it's littering the floor, that is still real. So somebody has to come by and clean this up. And I feel so sorry for the janitor going, what the hell happened here?
That's a valid point.
I would also think, hey, is that the best way to get the principal to be on board with this? If you just trash the hallway of your school? Like, you're not really, no, you're not doing that.
No.
Now, I've never seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Have you?
Yes, I actually saw it when it came to LA 2 or 3 years ago when Darren Criss played Hedwig.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like the show. It's a good show for sure. I don't know. I mean, chat, you can chime in because I don't think my school would have done a musical like this, like I said at the beginning. And so I don't know. Like, I understand what they were doing, and, like, it's an awesome message that they're trying to be like, hey, all-inclusive, et cetera. I love that part. But just on the standpoint of schools, I was like, it's a really sexualized show. So I'm just kind of stuck on that. Like,
yeah. I mean,
kind of adult themes.
Very true. And I suppose if they're going to do a whole musical based on that, I could definitely see a school saying, this is not appropriate right now.
Yeah.
But do you think in terms of, since I've never seen it, the songs, do you think there's at least what Kevin wanted to do is just take a song and perform that? Could you take a song and perform that in a high school setting and not have it come across as inappropriate?
Yeah, I think you could. I'm not like super familiar enough with the music to know them all for sure. I've only seen the show the one time and then the songs here. And I think there are some episodes that work, like, I mean, songs that work, like, for example, the one that they started it, ended it with Wicked Little Town, things like that. There are some that work. But so I guess in the sense that they're not doing a musical, it is more believable in the sense that you could see someone doing this for like an audition for a high school musical or certain songs at a talent show. But when they all were like, let's all sing a song from Hedwig, I'm like, you're really pushing the buttons there. Like, how do you really expect this to go? So, yeah.
Kitty, I feel like I want to ask you, how do you feel about Principal Honey? Do you feel you know enough about him to even care about him? Or is he just the guy, he's just the bad guy that's going to show up whenever the plot requires it to just knock down things?
I think the latter part of what you said is very much who they're setting him up as. It's like he's only a bad guy. But like I said, in this particular episode, though, I did see him as a little bit of a bad guy, but also being a voice of reason that they just don't want to hear because they're trying to be this rebellious, like making a statement type thing. And he's trying to be an actual principal. And who really, I mean, some people like their principal, but a principal does have to make choices that people don't agree with. So in this particular episode, I did not see him as a bad guy, but I also didn't see him as trying to make any sort of compromise either, which made him a little bit bad, if that makes sense.
I know this is not the type of show Riverdale is, but there is part of me that I wish at times we could do one episode a season where it is all from the point of view of a character we don't really know much about, whether it be Pops or Principal Honey, and just see how they react and how they live in a world that all this craziness is happening around them. Because, I mean, Principal Honey would be interesting to see what is, from his point of view, what's it like trying to be a principal of a school where you've got a guy that fought a bear, you've got another high school student trying to be like a rum magnet, you know, the daughter of a serial killer, you know, somebody who faked their death for months. What is it like to be a principal in that? I think we'd have more sympathy for a character seeing it from their point of view.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that would actually be really cool. I would like to see that. And that way you could have like, it would be like the spin on the episode where they all went, when they all played their parents. And so you kind of got to see their parents growing up. It could kind of be more like that, which would be interesting because then you would get to see some of the other characters really shine. And you may be able to know whether or not you want to empathize with them or just be like, nah.
What I'm also kind of bummed about is that they're putting the musical aspect of the show really focused on Kevin. It was his motivation, his wants that really kind of drove the engine for the show. Like, I want to perform something from Headwinding of the Angry Inch. And then at the end of the episode, when they finally do get to sing a song at Veronica's Speakeasy, he's basically like an ancillary player in the Archie's band. He had no moment of his own to really come forward and say, like, yes, I've done it. I get to sing my truth or whatever it is through this song. He doesn't. And even during that song, at the end, he doesn't even get his own, like, everybody else got their own little, segment of the song to sing. He got nothing.
I think they're trying to imply that, like, he sang his bit earlier on. But, yeah, I get you. Because it was, like, this was all for Kevin, wasn't it? Like, mostly for Kevin and especially, like, the LGBTQ community. And then you have him be, like, off to the side. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you blinked, you would have missed him. You literally would have missed him in that finale.
Yeah, it wasn't until they cut out to the wide shot where, like, oh, Kevin's here playing the keyboard. Okay. I didn't even realize.
Logan Knight says he could do without an episode focused on Mr. Honey. So, I mean, I think that was an example, Logan. Yes. But yeah, he said he could do without that episode.
Oh, come on, guys. Hey, let's find out what's going on with Kerry Smith there. Let's really dive into this. See what his deal is. Or Pops. Hell, I'd love to see what's going on with Pops.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But Pops is likable. We all like Pops.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I do, but
I can't stand Pops. Kitty, I don't know what you're thinking about.
I know. Craziness, crazy.
All right. So I guess going through this episode, Kevin's really big on getting a song performed in there. Principal Honey's saying no. Kevin's trying various ways through the support of his friends and the encouragement to try to make this happen. So whether it's dressing up and performing it in the high school, you know, where everybody's enjoying Kevin all made up, but Principal Honey comes in and shuts that down. Or everybody dressing up to look like Hedwig to kind of make their big stand. What did you think of the efforts? Were they believable efforts that students would make if they're trying to help their friend?
I think some of them were believable. I don't necessarily, that was the one thing that I thought was a little interesting about this is when he was doing the performance, like during school, and like he kissed Archie and everybody joined and was like loving it. And then when they all became Hedwig later, I feel like certain, especially his friend group would for sure do it. And like certain people who he knew personally, but I cannot see like a whole school standing in solidarity on this. It just, that didn't seem believable to me. And in certain schools, certain groups, yes. But it was a little, some people I'm like, would they, would some random Joe Schmo over here that doesn't know him do it? I don't know.
That's true. And I'm trying to guess from everybody that we saw dressed up as Hedwig, do you think that was the whole school or just like the whole senior class?
It definitely wasn't the whole school, but even having the whole senior class seems kind of like a stretch. I kind of figured it was like just their extended group of like jocks and the vixens and all that, but I didn't see it as like even a small portion of the school. So I don't know.
Well, Katie, I will ask you, during high school, did you ever do any sort of protest or work with your friends to try to change something?
Not at all, but I also only went to 1 year of public high school, so not really like I had a big, huge group of friends. And yeah, I also went to a super conservative high school and had a big conservative group of friends. So I don't think we, I mean, I didn't even participate in my senior ditch day because my mom wouldn't let me. So, you know, that's what my high school experience was like.
Yeah, I never got involved with that either. But I agree with your point that if somebody I knew of but really didn't know was trying to make a statement and said, hey, can you dress like Hedwig to help me out with this? And be like, I don't really know you, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But at the same time, it seems like most people like Kevin and kind of know what he went through.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to help him out knowing that he went through stuff, I could somewhat believe it more. Like I said, it really all depends on a lot of different factors because it doesn't really seem like anybody hates Kevin. So if you went up to them, they might be like, yeah, sure. But at the end of the day, if they were like, if instead of canceling the prom or whatever it was he said, if it had been like you'd be expelled, then it'd be different circumstances, I think. If that true. Makes sense. But if they weren't expelled, they might be like, yeah, sure, what's the harm in it, you know?
Yeah. I also want to know where in Riverdale everybody was able to find those wigs. I don't think there's a wig shop in Riverdale that's got those.
Wherever Betty got her wig in season one. That's my answer.
We see a couple other songs as well too. We see one that when Cheryl tries to convince Principal Honey over at Pops, they have a performance there, which I'm like, okay, Cheryl, sure, this will. I your track record with trying to convince Principal Honey to do anything is pretty low, so I don't think this is going to even work.
Well, and that, and first, that thought came to my mind. Second of all, why that song?
Yeah.
How is this song going to deter him toward your side? I did like exactly what he said, where he's like, are you kidding me right now? Like, yeah. I was thinking, that was a little clowny moment on Cheryl's part. So,
because they were singing about having a sugar daddy, right? So, I'm like, how? Okay, Principal.
Are you implying that he wants to be a sugar daddy? Like, what? All right. That number was a little cringy to me. I liked the sense of it being very musical-y in the sense that it can happen anywhere and it had that big dance number. Obviously, I like that element of it, but the song choice and like the whole context of it, I was like, I don't know.
We also have a little makeover montage that happens over at Cheryl's place too, where it's Tony, Betty, Veronica, and Cheryl hanging out with Kevin. And, you know, actually, that wasn't a bad musical number. I was like, of all of them in the whole episode, that was probably my favorite.
It wasn't my favorite, but I do. I mean, everyone loves that cliche makeover, you know, montage. Yeah. I mean, it's like when he said, are we going to do this right now? And I like that he kind of broke the wall there with, like, the whole, are we going to do a makeover montage right now? And, I mean, the one thing I did know would be good about this episode is we all knew Kevin would look good in drag. And, I mean, Logan Knight mentioned it, you know. They did a really good job with the makeup and the hair and making him look awesome, which I totally expected. But it was fun. It kind of made me think of that episode, that scene in Grease where they're, you know, talking crap on Sandy and, like, making fun of her, but, like, in a different, more sweet way. So I did kind of like that. I just don't like all of their singing voices enough to love it. So, like, 70-30 on that scale, I think.
Yeah.
On liking it, yeah.
And I don't know if this bothered you, but what it did bother me was that Archie was able to use his electric guitar without being plugged in at various points in this episode. I was like, I didn't even notice that. So, like, especially at the end when they're in La Bonne Nuit and they do their big song with everybody and then they race up to go to the roof of Pops. We see him unplug his guitar and then he's up there on top and he's still like, how are you doing this? How are you making this happen? Oh. Yeah, so we see everybody. After Principal Honey says, all right, talent show's canceled, Veronica says, I'm going to save the day. We're going to have it at La Bonne Nuit. We see them perform and then they end the episode up on top of Pops doing bringing back the, I feel like that thing, that climax at the end of the show where we're watching them sing on top of the roof, man, they really dragged that song out for a while. I was like, oh, all right, got it, guys.
Yeah, and Logan, I know you can play an electric guitar without it being plugged in. I think Frank was mentioning how it would sound, just the all the factors of it being like super loud still and like
yes.
up on there without having it plugged in. I think that's what Frank's point was on that. Cause yeah, you can play it. It just isn't going to sound in that same sense. So yeah. I think I honestly checked out for a bit in that final bit. Cause I was just like, where are we at? Is it almost over? Like,
yes. And
because it was just so much, they had all this singing and all that plot and then they tried to push the actual plot of the show in like 7 minutes of the entire episode. So you're like do and then the end. So it was just a lot that had happened right at the end that I was just, I think my brain was like, all right, when's intermission? Or curtain call, I should say.
Yes.
So yeah.
Well, speaking of the actual plot, which is, I mean, it's a very threadbare episode in this sense.
Yeah.
But well, let's dive into it. What I thought was interesting is that we see Jughead, basically, you know, after everything that's been happening this season, you know everything that's been, whenever it's Stonewall, faking his own death, coming back, putting an end to everything at Stonewall Prep. I find it interesting, like, after you've had those kind of incredible events happen to you, how do you then just try to settle back into, oh, wait, I've got to finish papers to get grades so that I can graduate. I guess trying to acclimate yourself to kind of the normal humdrum pace of life. I can see where Jughead is coming from, that he still needs that kind of thrill.
Yeah, I mean, Jughead's been through a lot, and I felt like Betty was just being too hard on him in some sense. I don't know. It's so, like, I'm, like, torn on, like, what's going on with Jughead, but it is understandable, for sure. I mean, he went through some serious stuff this season. Yeah. So, I feel like he's trying to do the best he can, given the circumstances. And in that way, I feel like it's a very human and high schooler reaction to having to deal with all this insane stuff. It changes you. You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, because while Betty is just like, hey, let's just jump on to the the task at hand, get you prepped so you can graduate high school with me and we can go out to college. Jughead is still trying to kind of process all this stuff and instead would rather kind of get himself involved in another mystery. And that's looking at all the videotapes that have been continuing to come in from whoever's filming outside of people's homes. Which, I mean, I could see that. I mean, if you were kind of a, I don't want to say, but do you feel like almost like Jughead is addicted to having to solve something now?
Yeah, I don't think Jughead knows how to just sit still and live his high school life. His life has been so doing something else for all of his high school and then have all this other stuff going on and everything. And with the contract of his book, no, it seems, I don't think he knows how to just be a high school kid and not do something else with his time.
He and of course, he doesn't tell Betty that he's going down to the bunker and he's really watching those videotapes and he's not, even if he does try to write something, it's just very phoned in, not very good at all. And Betty catches him down there watching these tapes and they have a big argument. Could you see both their sides or were you siding with either Betty or Jughead more?
I can see both their sides, but I feel like I understand why Betty is doing it. You know, she does care and she wants him to still be able to graduate and not be without his friends and all that stuff, which is a good gesture. But I feel like just the way she went about it was a little bit harsh considering what he goes through. Not that you should ever baby someone in that after that situation, you want them to get back to normal, but I feel like she could have done it a little more gracefully, you know, not, and you know, she does apologize for it later, which did say a lot. She did apologize saying, I'm sorry, like that was wrong. But I understand both sides of it. But I also understand him wanting to be like, you know what? Is high school the worst of my, is not graduating the worst of my issues right now?
Yeah. So we have that happening to Betty and Jughead. We've also got Archie and Veronica at the same time dealing with, I don't know, like this seemed like more of a manufactured beef between the two of them. And that is basically Veronica's mad at Archie because he didn't tell her that her dad was at Archie's gym instead of going to the doctor.
Yeah, I did. I didn't really think about it while I was watching it until you just mentioned it. It did seem a little bit like we really need to have them both get in a fight with their significant others so we can have this song in it. And that's one of the things I don't like about, in particular, musical episodes. You know, when you think of shows that do music and things like that, music is supposed to add to something that's already written, not write a plot based around music. And I feel like that might be what they did a little bit here, is because if you write a plot around the music, it can kind of feel forced. But if you write, you know, so I feel like it was them trying to be like, well, we know where we're going with, you know, Betty and Archie, so we need to find some friction on this end to make it coincide with this end. And it's like, really?
Yeah. It also seemed weird to me that I would think of the where Jughead's more angry and fired up, Betty's trying to be more calming, so I could see why each of them had the respective song points of view in there and that half of the song. But when it comes over to Archie and Veronica, I really felt like it should have been switched because Veronica's the one that's really fired up and Archie's just trying to be chill. So it felt weird to have Archie singing the really kind of raged up version of that song.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could have done a little reversal there. I didn't even think about that, but that's a good point. So, on a side note, though, Obsessed Fangirl says Team Betty because Jughead faked his death and got himself into this mess. So, interesting thought there. Ooh. So she is more on Betty's side during this whole argument then. So,
okay.
Yeah. That's a valid point, Obsessed Fangirl, though.
But he did work with Betty on this, right?
Yeah, he did. She knew about it, too. Like I said, I think they're like 50-50 on like that, so.
So while everybody's mad at each other, Betty and Archie get together because they're all supposed to be performing together as the Archies for the talent show, but only Archie and Betty show up for practice, and they sing a song, and then they make out. Hooray!
Well, our chat, well, particularly, I think it's Logan and some other people. We already know some of y'all are Team Archie fans. It's not that I'm not a Archie fan. it's just there's so many other factors that I don't like in the way that they're doing this is why I can't fully ship Barchi. But I don't not ship Barchi because I've never been a huge fan of Veronica and Archie, honestly. So I don't know. But we all saw it coming. I mean, a few episodes before, they were texting, and we know that they lied to Jughead and Veronica. So,
yeah. But I agree with you, Katie, because it's like, for me, it's hard for me to get on board for Team Barchi, knowing that it's basically this relationship is kind of starting off being duplicitous. And they weren't on a break, if we're going to go back to a Friends reference, but they weren't on a break. They were just having a little bit of an argument. And now they've made out, they're having these feelings and they're not being honest with the people that they're with. So it feels like, how am I supposed to be rooting for them? And it's not like Jughead and Veronica are both like awful people that you're like, yeah, they're in terrible relationships. They really should be together. No, they just had a little argument. It wasn't, so it doesn't make me think that those two couples are not valid. So it feels weird for them to try to make this happen.
Yeah. I just feel like that's them being like, this is the next step we got to take. Story-wise.
Yeah. If
I'm on the fence. I'm like, you know, same. Like, it's not, I'm not fully against it. I'm not fully on board yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, yes, set this up, but it's almost like, how am I supposed to be rooting for this couple to get together if they're being kind of, if they're lying and going behind the respective partners' backs? Why not just break them up earlier, you know, a couple episodes ago, and then So I don't know what this game's. Yeah. So they smooch. They look at each other longingly through their windows. They do the great, there we go, a little hand touch. Like, oh, great.
Like, I'm there, but I'm not there. Hey, they were social distancing, though. So, you know, maybe that was for that.
That's true. But everybody makes up with everybody at the end. But, you know, those feelings still linger between Archie and Betty. So we're just waiting for them to bubble forth.
I have a question for you.
Lay it on me.
Did you think that Archie was going to tell Veronica at that, when their moment when she apologizes?
You know, I would hope so. But I mean, I also know that Betty and Veronica have dealt with this in the past. And I felt like their whole thing was like, you know, we got to be honest with each other. Let's never do this. So the fact that Betty's not even treating that with any respect at all kind of feels like, all right, that's not great either. So I can't see how this is going to end well for anybody, is basically.
Oh, it's not. It is not.
but also, it feels like this is tough, I think, for the show. It's one thing, and we've talked about this before, that in the comic, it is one thing to kind of mix and match who Archie's going to be dating. I mean, Jughead's not even a factor in the comic books. So it's really just Archie bouncing in between Betty and Veronica. And I don't know, it's just like the comic book contrivance. You can feel like, oh, he's with Veronica now, oh, he's with Betty now, whatever. But I feel like it's harder to pull off in a scripted series, that I don't think you can have these couples mix and match and then have them be able to come back to the original status quo. It doesn't seem believable to me, but you know.
I get you.
Yeah.
Darnell Alexander did agree that Archie was going to tell Veronica, but she interrupted him. So that's her fault. So at least I was not the only one who thought she was going to tell, that he was going to tell Veronica. So, and welcome to the Jean Girl 24. Yeah, I know we're a few days late, but you know, better late than never is what I'm going to say. So
that's very true.
But thanks thanks for being here still. So we appreciate it.
All right. So Katie, then I'll ask you that. All right. So even if Archie was going to tell Veronica before she interrupted him, I always hate that excuse because it's like, well, he was going to tell her, like, yes, but there's also a million other times that you could tell her. It's not just that one instance. Like, it's like, well, I tried to tell you once and it didn't work. So I just couldn't do it.
What?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah. I get you. I mean, there's no right answer in this whole thing anyway. It kind of overpassed that already. So
the last thing I'll bring up is that I did mention that Jughead is working with Charles at the beginning. He's like, hey, I need something to take my mind off this stuff. Can I watch these videotapes? again, we, and every, I'm sure everybody in the chat, we've all talked about it. Like, when's the next step of this Charles storyline going to kick into gear? Because it's been, he's just been sitting here, and we've been sitting on the Chick Charles connection for a long time without anything happening.
I don't know. And I'm a little worried, honestly, because of the fact that the season only has a couple episodes left. So I don't know if we're going to get that answer at the end of the season anymore, because I was thinking it was going to be in the finale, but I don't know. But I can talk a little bit more about it in predictions.
Nice. Well, before we get into that real quick, let's do a yeah. rapid fire session of class president and class clown.
Yeah. Chat, send them to us, because we're going to, I'm going to shout them out. So if you want to say yours first, and I'll wait for the chat and then tell mine. Say mine.
Nice. I mean, I'm going to go class president. Oof, man, that's I don't know if I have anybody I want to put class president this episode, but I guess it is the game, so I have to say somebody. So I'm going to go with the janitor of Riverdale High, because he cleaned up that mess made in the hallway without any fuss. So he's my hero.
All right.
Class clowns, I'm going to give it a tie for Betty and Archie. This whole relationship they're trying to set up is ridiculous to me, so I'm not buying it.
All right. I'm waiting for some answers from the chat, so I'll shout those out when you guys send them to me. I don't know who my class president was either. I'm probably going to go with Kevin, just because he kept, you know, he was the one who was really trying and had his reasons for wanting, you know, with the farm doing everything to him. He was genuinely, everything he was doing was from his heart. And you believed it. And so I did like Kevin in this episode, because he had a pretty class clown moment earlier on in the season, which I know we don't want to talk about. So I do like that they kind of pulled that away and he's able to just be him again. And then class clowns is honestly going to be Jughead and Veronica for not having any clue about Archie and Betty. I am sorry. You didn't see the way, like, Betty looked at Archie when they were singing, and all, but at the same time, a little bit of Archie, for the fact that they named the band The Archies. I was like cringing over that. I was like, really, The Archies? That's terrible. It's a terrible name. So yeah, but yeah, I just, they have the wool pulled over their eyes, those two. And it's a bummer that they're going through that, but at the same time, I'm like, really? Can y'all read a room a little bit? So, you know, see what they want to see. But, all right, let's see. Logan Knight said, class president is Kevin, since he stood up for what he believes in. So, awesome with that. And then, class clown Mr. Honey for being such a prude. All right. We already know people don't like Honey. Obsessed Down Girl said, clown Cheryl, because she thought that Sugar Daddy was going to work. That's valid. I said it earlier. It's a little class clowny. And then Classic Slate 71 said, class clown is the mask, whoever creeping me. So that was creepy. I think you're talking about the very end thing where they showed the creepy video. Yeah, that was creepy. So yeah, a little bit torn. Some people are saying Cheryl. A lot of people are saying class president is Kevin. I think we all are kind of in agreement with it with that. So yeah. And then class clowns are Betty and Archie cheating. So Billy Jean Girl agrees with you on that. So.
Oh, all right. I'll take that. Folks, of course, Riverdale has plenty of news that's happening in it. And Katie loves to gather that information together and deliver it to you at the Riverdale news desk. So let's go to her right now.
Riverdale news desk. Shouldn't that be called, what's the black? Is it the black and gold? Is that what it is?
Blue and gold?
Oh, thank you, Ryan. I heard the end of that, but yeah. I think it's the blue and gold or whatever their name is. We can just start calling it that maybe. But anyway, in AfterBuzz, in Riverdale News, I know it's been a few weeks since we've had an episode. So the biggest news that did come out in an article yesterday from TVGuide.com is that they are actually going to be ending the Riverdale season early. They're cutting out the last three episodes because obviously they had to stop filming due to COVID-19. So they are just cutting the season short. So May 6th will be the very last episode of the season. So that means there's two more, and then there won't be the full 22 episode arc. So I'm a little curious to see where they go with that. So two more weeks, and then it'll go on Netflix the Thursday after that last episode airs. So if anybody is behind, which I know our chat is not, they've all watched it. So yeah. And then another news, it was a little earlier in this month. It was in April, at the beginning of the month, but we haven't had a show since then. Casey Cott, who plays Kevin, is doing a campaign, and it's at the website charitywater.org. And I know Ryan had some pictures if they show up. If they don't, it's not a big deal. But basically, Casey and his brother both shaved their head for the cause to raise money for what they were calling the Cott Quarantine Cut campaign. They shaved their heads, and there's a picture that they posted earlier this month of them both with their shaved heads. And they're basically raising money for clean water and helping people who don't have clean water during this cause. And you can, there is a link on his Instagram if you did want to donate. Right now, they are at $18,000 of their $20,000 goal. So that's a pretty cool thing to be doing during this time and trying to help out others. And another thing Casey Cott did is, I'm sure that our viewers saw this, he also posted his number, which I'm assuming was a community number, which has been very popular during this quarantine. But he did post a number saying, if you don't have someone to talk to during this quarantine, text me so that I can talk to you and have you not feel so alone, which is just an awesome way to just kind of give back and be like, I have some time. I know we're all dealing with stuff and not everybody has a quarantine buddy. So it's all about Casey today and just talking about how he could, you know, we had an episode where he was trying to talk about rights and get exposure. And then he, in real life, he's doing other awesome stuff off scenes, which I think it deserves recognition. So way to go, Casey. So yeah.
And that's very nice. And as we wrap it up, a few predictions to take us out on the episode here. Katie, any predictions? You said you had some you were saving for.
So I think I said it earlier in the season, but I still think that Charles is the one who's making the tapes. I still think that because you're not seeing anything about it, and we know he has the way to do it. So I think him and Chick are behind that somehow. I don't know that we'll see it by the end of the season because it's getting cut short. And there was one more. What was it? I cannot remember what the other one was. So maybe I'll think about it in the next couple seconds. But that was my biggest thing, is I do think that was supposed to be one of the big reveals of the season.
Nice. Well, I mean, we both know that Hermione and FP are leaving the show this season.
Yeah.
I mean, whether that actually happens at the end of this season or because of the delays of it happens beginning next season. But, you know, in a way, I almost hope it is like they leave the show as actors, but the characters don't. Because, I mean, we certainly don't see Mary around that often. We saw her for a couple episodes. So we established that, yes, she is here in Riverdale with Archie. We don't need to see her every episode. Because, I don't know. Do I want to lose the idea of those characters as well as the actors that portray them? I think, I mean, at this point, I mean, and in terms of adults, I can believe that every adult is still there because we rarely see them as it is anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Not really a prediction, just a statement.
I know it's hard. And what I would have said if they were having those last three episodes changes things too. So, and obviously we all know it's not really a prediction. Archie is going to happen.
Great.
But, you know, it is a prediction because it's not official yet, but I think that's what all of us and the chat have in agreement that that's going to happen. And it's going to be like a downward fall for Jughead when that happens.
I can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. As always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat this episode. I know, as somebody mentioned, Billie Jean mentioned, and as Katie said, there were some scheduling challenges that we had from this episode to when we're doing the after show. But we're going to be more on track for the last two episodes. I think we'll be doing them on Thursday nights for the last two
episodes. Hopefully. I think that's what we're hoping, yeah.
Yes. But yes, rest assured, Katie and I will be back to cover the last two episodes of the season. But if you want to stay in touch with either of us while the show is waiting for next Wednesday to come around for a fresh new episode, Katie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the letter K, letter T, _ Christine with a C. And on other shows here on AfterBuzz, Batwoman as well. And I just wanted to give some real quick shout-outs real quick. You know, Gratian Ryan, I know you came in late. Billie Jean Girl 24, Logan Knight, Classic Player 71. You all have been awesome, and we appreciate you so much for continuing to support this show. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well said. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, that'll do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back here. All plans for next Thursday, right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye, everyone. Have a good night. Stay safe.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.